Want to stay up to date on the biggest stories in pop culture and entertainment? Then be sure to check out the TMZ podcast. I'm Charlie Cotton from TMZ, the TV show, and every day I'll sit down with a member of our news team to give exclusive breakdowns of the day's most talked about headlines, stories we break, and the stories you care about. So check out the TMZ podcast, Monday through Friday, and the other podcasts from the TMZ audio network like Last Days and TMZ Verified, available on all podcast platforms.
Thanks to Audible for supporting The Instance. Start listening today with a 30-day free trial, and your first audiobook plus two Audible originals are free when you go to audible.com/wow or text wow to 500-500.
Do you know what she's done while you've been hiding? I left that life behind. I'm no one's savior. I will not lead the Horde.
I didn't ask.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Instance, episode 558. It is Friday, May 17th, 2019. I'm Scott Johnson with Patrick Beja. Hello.
Hey, so let me make a prediction right here, right this second, right now.
Go.
I Didn't Ask is going to become a massive meme in the next few months.
Yeah,
It's already doing Sour
it.
Fang.
Yeah.
Oh, it already is.
Yeah, okay, you're seeing small ones already.
Correct then.
Yeah. They're already starting, but I'm with you that months from now, we're still going to be the gifts and the text are going to be rolling hard, yo.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. As a generation
hey,
of
Scott.
Children say.
Hey, oh, Garrett.
Hi.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, good. Oh, what? Garrett. Yeah, that's right. Garrett Weinzer all over there. What's going on, Garrett?
Coffee tears, gentlemen.
Oh, coffee tears. Is that Wait, mean you put tears in your coffee?
Or cheers?
I said cheers.
Oh.
But sure. Coffee tears. That's what happens when you burn your coffee.
I don't know. Just like the idea that you would leak a couple of tears into your morning brew is kind of interesting and funny to me.
I mean, that was an emotional cinematic for sure, but not tear worthy.
No.
Not to the point to put tears in your coffee.
Yeah. And by the way,
you want to put tears in my coffee, I guess, I don't know, take me to see an early morning showing of Endgame.
Oh, that'll get you.
That'll do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll get you every time. My kids all went, it was my son's birthday yesterday, so they all took him to see John Wick 3 last night.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, hearing nothing but amazing things about that sequel, so very excited about that. So I can finally move on emotionally from Endgame, because that's all I've thought about movie-wise. For weeks now, and now
you
it's time.
You and every quality person in the world, Scott.
You, just in time, Scott, to have emotional baggage return with the end of Game of Thrones on Sunday.
Yeah, can't wait for that, although
the internet's
driving me nuts, Patrick. Patrick, not that you're part of the problem, Patrick, but you're my go-to for whoever's being the most, like, you're the most negative I know about Game of Thrones right now. But I like your commentary because you're reasonable and you make points and then you have conversation about it. So you're my preferred descent. I will go to you and your ilk every time.
Thank you. So the thing is, not to go into spoilers, which we won't, but my problem with Game of Thrones isn't the direction things are going. It's that it's so rushed that it's not earned. That's my problem. So,
100% agree. The pace is bad.
Wow. Okay, cool. We can move on from this quickly because I agree entirely.
Very quickly. Yeah. I got my point across, so we don't need anyone else's point.
Yeah,
it's fine.
And we all agree. It's about pacing. Everybody who I know who is smart and intelligent knows it's about pacing and doesn't sign a 500,000 person signature thing to have them rewrite it.
Can we back that off just a hair? Like, if you disagree with that statement, that does not mean you are a dumb and...
I believe it might.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it definitely does, but there's a good chance that it does.
Oh, that's my God. Okay, cool.
Listen,
wow,
let's
move
on from this conversation.
Yes, we're not going to talk about this.
Points.
We're not going to talk about this.
It's only very reasonable and coherent, so we can now move on and talk about other things that we can have arguments about.
Like these. We have our first Thrall-based cinematic ever in the history of World of Warcraft. That is to say, fully rendered, you know, CGI, top shelf rendered cinematic featuring
that's
Thrall.
That's a good point.
Yeah, he's never been in any of these things. In fact, a lot of your main players simply have not been in them. Occasionally you'll get, I mean, we've had Sylvanas most recently, but prior to her appearance in the bit she was in for Legion, we hadn't had her either. So, and also I think that applied to Varian. That was Varian's first appearance in a fully rendered cinematic. So what we usually get is more generic stuff. I would say right up to Warlords where, you know, it was just kind of, I'm trying to remember what Cataclysm was. It was the dragon, I guess, and that was it. But you never really got like character, specific hero type characters that we deal with in the story until that time. And then from then forward, in the case of Warlords, it was like a bunch of old, you know, older heroes and villains. So you didn't even get the more modern takes. But now we have Thrall, freaking Thrall, Goel, father of one, wife of what's her name? Agra. Who knows where the hell they are? They're out shopping at Walmart or something while this whole interchange takes place. But
they're off in, we didn't want to model them, Vil. That's where they're off to.
I mean, I do like the idea that Thrall's protective about where they might be because he's not sure what.
Well, Sarah, he says they're close. There. It's not like. Was, you know,
yeah.
Yeah, that was the most Western ass line delivered in this entire cinematic. Is just like the dude who doesn't want to be found and like, hey, where's your family? Like, and doesn't give an answer, doesn't give a direct answer to where the family is. Yeah. Oh, it's great. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. I couldn't be more into all the writing in this cinematic.
Yeah, it's pretty great. But you're right. It also saves on rendering out full models of characters we don't need to see.
Yeah, frankly, getting one new one in the form of Thrall was a surprise.
It was a huge surprise. I figured they had run dry on this stuff. Although, I mean, I can say it now. I knew Chris was in for recording and because he told me so, but he didn't say when or what the context was. One would assume Thrall because Varian's dead. So I thought, well, all right, what's that about? And then I kind of forgot about it. And then suddenly we have a cinematic. And not only that, Thrall's talking like Metzen, saying Metzen things from the interviews we did. Like straight up, this thing's like a weird ghostly shadow of some of the stuff he said. Now, I know it's
I heard you say that on Core. I think you're pushing it a tiny bit, but sure.
Not really. Think about it. I left that world long ago. I'm here. I'm with my family now. I don't want to. There's a very tangible parallel between the life of Chris Metzen leaving Blizzard and Thrall and his current, like, I don't want to deal with it stance.
Sure. Literally puts his character, I mean himself, in the latest evolutions of Thrall in the past, which is why it fits. But yeah. I guess it still means that there's some of that.
Sure.
Yeah, it's worth mentioning though, like, you know, Metzen is way more self-aware than Thrall is in this scene. Like Thrall is high on his own supply. Like he's kind of, this is the most dickish we've ever seen Thrall be. I can't imagine Metzen like telling me he's no one's savior because I don't think he ever thought he was in the first place.
No, yeah, that's true. But a lot of people, I think a lot of people look to him as like the heart and soul of Blizzard, and I don't think that's fair. He doesn't think that's fair, I should say, because it's teams and teams and teams of people. Yet he had this mantle placed upon him, you know, owned or not, deserved or not, that was just sort of, you know, it weighed a lot. Here's my thing. If I'm Thrall, I don't want to be in the Grand very long because it seems like the wheat you're getting to make your bread is shitty. That's some shitty wheat. Did you see that? He goes and the Saurfang grabs a handful of it and it just falls apart like a bunch of dust and detritus. It's horrible. So get out of there and get some real wheat.
Yeah, I don't know how you use that to make bread. Yeah. Like it literally disintegrates when you take it in your hand.
Yeah.
It goes to show my knowledge of wheat because I go, oh, is that how it's not? That's not how it's supposed to happen. I don't know.
No, he's like, oh, it's all crumbling. He thinks it's wrong. And part of his, I mean, I assume the implications here are Thrall's so out of touch with the elements now and no longer can control them or have any communion with them that that stuff's just kind of fallen apart. Or at the very least, the Grand is sort of disagrees with him despite it being sort of his homeland. I don't know. I'm maybe reading too much into it, but that's the feeling I got was more like you know, it looks great. This seems okay, but it's kind of an artifice and it seems like it's maybe falling apart. And Azeroth herself is in peril. And, you know, this is all, you know, connected also, to that stuff. Yes.
Maybe the reason he doesn't want to show us his kid is that the when you grow up eating that wheat, you grow up like weird. And he's like, no, he's just he's not far when he's actually hiding.
Are you saying that they didn't want to relive the ugly baby episode of Seinfeld? That's why we didn't see Thrall's son?
I haven't seen it, but it's possible.
You should see it. It's fantastic. It's a piece of work, man. You should watch that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I love that one. It's a great episode of Seinfeld. But the point is, like, there have been a couple rumors floating around. I don't know if it's because we're all just in, like, that mode of, you know, everyone's analyzing Game of Thrones. Everybody's analyzing Endgame. Like, there's a lot of popular culture right now that's getting overly analyzed. But I've heard a couple of theories.
It's because this is yet another piece of fiction that's very important to people.
But yeah, no, I think you're totally right. And I'm 100% cool with it. I enjoy the back and forth. But one theory I heard was that this is a version of Negran that's of Thrall's making, and that it's falling apart because he can't control the elements the way he used to. But this is where he's hiding, because otherwise he's not really hiding. Like if he's really in Negran, like straight up, like I guess Warlord's Negran, or I guess he could be an Outlands Negran.
No, it's confirmed Outlands Negran.
Okay, yeah, so this is Outlands Negran then.
Yes, it has the floaty bits. Like there, you can go to this exact angle, like the establishing shot that you can go there in game, and it's in Outland.
Some shitty quests right down there by that mountain, that little mountain thing that's in the middle there. Some shitty quests. I'm just saying.
Oh, Ashugan. Yeah, I never liked those quests either.
Not a good time. Just a memory I have of that. Maybe it holds up better now. But anyway, it's beautiful and rad, and I have the feeling we're not done with these in that if they have one now for this, they'll surely have something for closer to the end of the cycle. And that would be really cool.
Whatever the big ending is now, I'm expecting a cinematic for it.
Yeah.
Whatever the whatever big bag goes down, if it's Sylvanas, if it's N'Zoth, whatever, if Sylvanas becomes Lich King, which I'm still crossing my fingers for, we're getting a cinematic for it.
Yeah.
So can we address the things that are actually happening in the cinematic since we're talking about Sylvanas.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, man.
Go ahead. You start it. Tell me what's happening.
So, I mean, everyone's seen it now, right?
Yeah.
So, essentially, Sylvanas is sending assassins to kill Thrall, which I will be incredibly curious to hear how the Sylvanas apologists, like Sylvanas did nothing wrong, like she's my war chief, blah, blah, blah. How are they going to defend that one?
Yeah.
Like, how is Sylvanas still worthy of being the war chief of the Horde when she's sending assassins to, if it's her, I mean, I'm kind of assuming it's her, maybe wrongly, but if it's her, how do you defend that when the one character you've been rooting for and hoping, like your hero, is being targeted by that crazy night elf undead thing?
I don't think you can defend it.
First of all, high elf.
Sure.
Well, okay. But she's
living
blue,
YouTube comment. Yeah. So if you are RPing as loyal to Sylvanas, you're probably not the Thrall fan in the first place. He's a threat. He's a threat to your leader's rule.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, he's got strong ties to the traitor Sour Fang. And that's pretty easy. That's pretty easy to go with. As someone who was...
No, I don't think... Sorry, just to comment on that. The question isn't if you're RPing as a no matter what loyalist. That I understand how it could be, you know, rationalized. But the question is more, can you justify the actions of Sylvanas as morally right? You know, like, oh, she's doing it because she needs to do that for the Horde and that kind of thing. Like, there's a reason to defend the Horde, whereas that's a secondary thing. Like, if you've decided that you want to defend Sylvanas no matter what, then yes, obviously you need to take away the threats to her rule. But it's two different topics, I feel.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're assuming everyone cares about Thrall, I guess, as much as you do, which I'm sure there's some people who don't.
Do you think that's an unfair, like, you don't think he's one
I
of
do,
the most
I do, to a certain degree. I don't think everyone finds Thrall to be all that important. I think there's an argument to be made for Thrall being...
blasphemy!
Hear me out. A proven failed leader. He put the first Sylvanas in power and walked away.
Yeah.
And decided to do his gap year and become a freaking shaman hippie.
Fair enough.
Thrall's not a great leader. Like, he started strong and ended horribly. So there's that. And then there's also just, like, again, if you, whether you're RP or not, you know, if you're in the camp of the Sylvanas' tactics and worldview, is correct, which I don't necessarily agree with, but I'll play devil's advocate here, that if you think that she just wants to win the war so there's no more wars, sure, Thrall's a threat to that strategy.
Yeah, I'm kind of going to side with Patrick on this one, not because I agree with you, and I think that if you're RPing this, yes, but she's a bad person. Like, she's a... We have now...
Oh, totally. I didn't need the cinematic to convince me of that. And that's kind of been my issue this entire expansion, is it seems really heavy-handed in terms of making Sylvanas out to be the bad guy when we were supposed to have, you know, shades of gray.
Yeah, this is true.
And you know, I even with all of this, I do feel like assassination of Thrall, the attempted assassination... is an escalation of unimaginable proportions. Like, going after, it's not just like even Bane and Sourfang, who had actively defied her, were one thing, but going to assassinate a former war chief and hero of the Horde, even if you think, you know, he's not that good, he's not that great actually anymore, we hate him, going to assassinate him is you know, escalating significantly.
Yeah,
I don't know. I feel like that's the point of no return.
Going to assassinate the guy who put you in power, it's pretty gnarly.
I don't necessarily like want to fight about this, but I do just want to point out, for nerdy reasons, that killing one orc versus the genocide of an entire city. Thrall is not escalation.
I don't know.
I mean, the burning of Tel Drassil was the peak.
Let's put it in context. Imagine some American leader went out and assassinated George Washington.
Uh-huh.
He would be considered a, you know, that's the step you don't cross.
Right.
A line you don't cross. I think it's that kind of.
Yeah, if you had, if John Adams went and killed his predecessor, who was Washington. If he did that, that would be very bad. I don't know I don't know what the definition of treason is, but it feels treasonous even though he's not in power, the guy you killed. So it's a pretty gnarly move, politically and otherwise. Now, let's not forget the important thing here, though. The game finally got a rendered sort of full-blown edition of a couple of rogues, and that's never happened in the history of the game.
So, yeah, and like canonized the way their stealth works.
Yeah, the
I was
sound
just assumed
even.
Going semi see through was just the game's way of depicting this, and in reality we were hiding. But no, I think as John Jagger put it, they're predators. If you're a rogue, you're a freaking predator.
Yeah, you have this, it's magic basically. It's not just hey I'm sneaky. It's actually magic, or at least that's how it appears. And that sound that accompanies it, that it's always done, that thing is right there in the cinematic like multiple times. So
I cheered as loud when I heard that noise accompany the effect as I did for a certain character picking up a certain item in Endgame. Like it was that level of nerddom for me.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
So cool seeing that rendered out.
It was cool. It did that in that way. Go ahead.
I was going to say the other thing, too, to keep in mind, though, is that this is, you know, a small snippet. If this appears in game, I'm assuming it's going to. It's probably going to be, you know, there's going to be a quest lead in and there'll be something that happens after this plays. Mm-hmm. So we don't know the whole story here.
Right.
So because there's all kinds of conspiracies going around, like Sylvanas wouldn't just send two rogues to assassinate Thrall. That wouldn't work. Brr, 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 brr. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's true. I think maybe we could also potentially be overthinking this, and because there's also... I could see the beating at Blizzard being like, you know what, we haven't had undead rogues and cinematics. Let's just get that in there. Mm. Yeah, she would probably send Dark Rangers, but let's do undead.
Yeah.
That's also...
And it might also not be her. Are we certain it's her?
Well, I mean, they say...
That's a pretty direct line, considering they're undead, but... Right.
Yeah, they've got to be from her. But maybe it could be Nathanos. Yeah, yeah. He's a dick.
Yeah.
It's totally possible it's him. That guy's a huge dick. I could see him making
calls. Yeah, but I don't think he wipes his butt unless Sylvanas tells him it's okay. So
he is pretty loyal, but I could see him going, "It's what the Dark Lady would have wanted," or some bullshit, and then send him on their way.
And totally Taliesin brought up the idea of maybe they were just scouting and saw an opening and went for it, even if they weren't necessarily ordered.
If you're sent to scout and you actually try to kill the war chief, that is a really bad move.
Right. Oh, yeah, no.
Well, right. But who knows? I mean, there's so many. It could also be, hey, just keep an eye on him. You too. It's fine. It's all I can spare.
Yeah.
Keep an
eye.
But then you don't go to kill him.
Right.
But maybe it was the appearance of Sarafang that tipped their hand. We don't know yet.
None of this
we'll find out, though.
None of this is squashing the people who've long complained that Sylvanas is just Garrosh 2.0. And I have a little concerns about that because.
No. It made it worse.
Yeah, it made it a little bit worse, or at least reinforced it. It does feel, it's like the same path. I mean, yes, you could say Garrosh was just, you know, angry and had an idea for the Horde from the beginning that was going to lead down a dark path or whatever, but you could say the same thing about her and her desire to just protect the undead. She doesn't care that much about the Horde. It's really the undead she's worried about and the Forsaken, and she'll do whatever it takes to do that or add to that, which, you know, death just means more to her army. So, I don't know, man. I feel like it is a lot, Garrosh 2.0. How it pans out in the end will make the difference. Like, what is
end game? I think that's the big question at this point. Is it intentional? Because it seems too...
Can you imagine it would pan out in a different way than what we're imagining?
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, we can't just have Siege of Orgrimmar 2, can we?
I can.
Like,
I guess, but I don't think that'd be a good idea. Yeah. It'd be a bad idea.
I think people would be pretty ticked off about it.
Yeah,
but
yeah. I mean, she can't be the final boss, can she? I mean, she can't be.
No, I don't think so. I think
Sylvanas is destined for greater, more horrible things at this point.
Oh, more horrible things, yeah. Like more atrocities.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
it's not. Sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say I think we're seeing the rise of just Warcraft's next big bad. I don't think we deal with her here. I think she gets, you know, she just moves on from the Horde that. She gets bigger aspirations and maybe she disappears for a while and comes back in Wrath of the Banshee Queen.
Wow. I hadn't thought of that. They could keep her on as your heir apparent to all things evil for a while.
And I mean, that was part of what was cool about how they handled Arthas was that he just disappeared in the beginning of World of Warcraft. You know, we came out of Warcraft 3 wanting to know what the hell happened to him. And it was just kind of, we saw the remnants of the Scourge in Azeroth and in Burning Crusade, we had nothing to do with him. Mm-hmm. So Sylvanas at this point, I think, is becoming a big enough bad that we could kind of put her away for an expansion or two.
Yeah.
And bring her back.
Yeah. I don't know. Then you'll have people complain that there is no closure to Sylvanas and her horrible reign of terror.
Yeah, that's all right. I'll fight those people because you could say the same thing about Warcraft 3, one of the greatest video games and one of the greatest video game stories ever told. So, you know, I'll go to bat for that.
All right. Fair enough. Any other thoughts, final feelings about this otherwise expertly made piece of cinematic quality content from Blizzard? Either of you? No.
I just can't hammer home enough how good the writing is.
Yeah, this was apparently a full blown Christy Golden joint.
Yeah, that's what I heard. And there's not that much dialogue, but what dialogue there is some of the better dialogue we've seen, I think, out of Warcraft.
Sure.
When Sarafang says I followed them, I was just like, oh damn,
yeah,
it's on.
And that really subverted expectations. Like I thought it was just gonna follow this path of like, you know, they followed you and I was into it. I was like, yeah, dude, what are you doing? Why don't you be a little more careful, Sarafang, walking around and got a couple of stealthy a-holes following you to see where Thrall lives. It's like, no, he followed them here. because they were coming to get you. I mean, it changes the whole tenor of the thing. It's great. It's really smart writing. You're right.
Right, right. And yeah, like my gut reaction is like, how dare she go after Thrall and his family, like endangering her, his family like that. And, you know, it's it hits home unless you're really all in on the undead.
Chat room suggesting maybe he lied to convince Thrall of the danger. I don't know, maybe. I think that's reading too much into it.
Yeah, seems unlikely.
It's also not his character to lie. His entire arc is about him being true to his honorable self and not going down this other path that is not him. So I don't think he would be faking it. But here's the other thing. When Thrall turns around and realizes, well, all right, I got to go. I got to be DPS or whatever. And he goes around and he opens up that hatch to get his weapon. I thought at first he was going to open it and his wife and kid would be in there looking up going, can we come out now? Is it safe? Is everything okay? And it didn't happen. So it was just and then I thought it'd be the Warhammer, but then I couldn't remember where the hell that thing is.
Doomhammer?
The Doomhammer, well,
we got it as an artifact weapon, and then we threw it at the giant sword.
Right. So it's gone. And so I was like immediately disappointed and then went, oh, yeah, right. He doesn't have that anymore. Instead, that's not Gorehowl, though. What is that thing he's got?
No, that's a new axe that does not match any known famous Warcraft axe.
All right.
Appears to be.
It's just an axe.
He's been leveling up his blacksmithing, clearly. He probably made it for himself.
Right. That's true.
Doesn't look very well done, though. I don't, you know, I'm not very impressed.
It looks orcish.
It's pretty orky. I mean, everything about Thrall right now is very orky. Gone is the robe and the big giant red pearl thing he used to wear, and all that shit's gone. He's like back to basics. Got some sweet gloves, big furry boots, shirtless.
Do you see the little hints of his purple armor poking out in the cinematic and his legs?
Yeah,
that was really cool.
That was pretty good. Like he's still using all that old stuff just for shitty farmer boots now. Anyway,
hey, that's what do you do with your favorite shoes when they get grody? That's what you start mowing the lawn with.
Yeah, you mow because they're going to get green and disgusting if you mow them once. So they better not be your best shoes, is what I'm saying. But anyway, where they go from this is interesting. I'm excited about it. And I have to say, the entire Saurfang arc from top to bottom, I really enjoy it. I like it a lot. It's been very slow coming. It's very piecemeal. We've talked about it on the show multiple times, how long Blizzard takes to get this stuff, you know, in our faces. But in retrospect, and given this latest thing, I really like where they've taken us with him and his journey. And it's pretty cool. I'm sure Alliance people are mad because there's not enough of their freaking side being shown. But
oh man, my issue with Thrall has always been that I've always found him a little boring and a little one note, and I think that's the biggest accomplishment of the cinematic is making Thrall interesting because he's flawed in this scene. Like we see a really defeated Thrall who's just putting up all his guards and deflecting as much as he possibly can.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, with over on the Alliance side, Anduin just puts me to sleep right now.
I mean, he's in Negrand doing chores. It's like the most defeated leadership position of all time. And nobody's asking for Thrall back, but I guess now we need him. So that'll be good. They only need five more, no, three more for a dungeon run. And I don't know, another 10 for a good raid.
Saurfang has been really well handled, I think, this expansion.
Yeah, he's cool. He's really cool. Whatever happened to what's the deal with the blue
Zappy boy?
Yeah, Zappy boy. Did he die? No.
No, he's still around.
Okay.
He's still around.
I kind of thought we'd get more of him. I don't know.
You did some quests with him to go find Saurfang, I think out in the Swamp of Sorrows.
Right.
I think it was the last time I saw him.
Right. He was still there. You're right. But I just mean story-wise, it'd be cool if they, I don't know, those two are tooling around together like a bad, you know, buddy cop kind of movie.
It would have been a little out of place in this particular cinematic. Just like, I didn't need Thrall going, who's that? Going, oh, that's my buddy Zappy Boy. We've kind of had this buddy cop thing going on.
Yeah.
It's a long story. I'll tell you on the road back to Durotar.
Oh, also, this happens all the time in cinematics. They'll show something I wish was in the game, and it's not. But the ability to break a stealthed rogue's neck while he's stealthed would be awesome. Let's do that. Blizzard.
Oh, that was super. Also, just throw some like ash on another rogue to make them visible.
Yeah, that was cool. Oh my gosh, that was cool. All right, well, I think we're all in agreement. Well done, Blizzard. That stuff's rad. Should keep making that. I think that bodes well for
the future.
One of
the best cinematics ever.
Yeah, it's really, really, really good.
Put that out there.
Put that all in one big string. I mean, this is a hell of a binge for Battle of Azeroth at this point, if you're just talking cinematics. Like, it'd be really fun to go check one of those YouTube videos out where they just string them all together and watch them all. All right, let's talk about the elephant in the room. And by elephant, I mean a creature that lives for a very long time. That's like WoW Classic. Well, the WoW Classic beta is live, and we have a release date. August 27th is the official release date of that. I don't know what that does, by the way, for the Warcraft 3 remastered launch in terms of timing, because they haven't come anywhere near to saying when that's actually coming out, even though you can pre-order it.
I was really hoping that I would get to play through Warcraft 3 Reforged and then go immediately into Classic.
Mm-hmm. That would have been cool. Although you
I don't think that's going to happen anymore.
You may have been let down by the graphics in WoW Classic after playing a up-resed looking, cool, graphically enhanced version of Warcraft 3. But anyway, the beta is live right now. It started on the 15th or 16th, I think, just yesterday. Yesterday? Day before. 15th, I think.
2 days ago.
Yeah. And it kind of took stream by storm, or Twitch, rather, by storm. Everybody was streaming it, if they had accounts out, obviously. They came out and made a big, strong reminder that there are no such thing as beta keys this time around, so do not believe any phishing emails you get saying, hey, I got a beta key, because they don't exist. This is account activation, and if you want to be part of the beta, you need to go into your Battle.net account and activate your interest in it, which you can do with a lot of their betas and stuff. Make sure you've done that, because if you haven't done that, you're not getting considered. They even had they had some kind of summit for streamers and YouTubers, no podcasters, as far as I know. That was kind of a bummer to hear about after the fact.
I didn't go. Did you go?
No, I didn't hear about it. I didn't know about it. So
neither did I.
If they were doing a thing, nobody was told about it in our circles, but there were a few streamers, you know, sort of high-level popular streamers and YouTubers who do a lot of WoW content that were invited to that summit and got to see a bunch of that stuff. We'll get to all of that in a second. I will say this one thing. When I was checking out Twitch streams, some of the worst chat rooms I've ever been in, like ever. And I've been in some rank chat rooms on Twitch. But man,
it's a numbers game.
Ugh. It was bad, though. It was bad. I mean, I understand. You're right. It is a numbers game. There's a certain threshold. You hit it, and then Twitch chat is toxic no matter what you are or what you're doing. But these just seemed, in particular, just real rough. I would avoid it if I were people. That's just me.
You're just describing Twitch chat at this point?
I guess so. And it's probably not fair to levy it at WoW Classic or these streamers in particular. It's just, it was the hot thing. Everybody got in there, and it sucks. I think you're limited.
I mean, I think it's also, it's also a, you know, topic, or I don't know, WoW has always been very, not controversial, but like people get so emotional about these things. Mm-hmm. And Classic itself being a weird emotional thing, I think that's, you know, not completely unsurprising. I don't think it's fertile ground.
Fertile ground's a good way to put it. I like that.
Oh, definitely.
Unlike Blizzard.
Blizzard this year, WoW this expansion, Classic post private servers, like there's just so much baggage that comes with this. Yeah. On top of when you tune into someone that has 100,000 viewers, I don't know. Imagine going to a big arena concert where every single person in attendance can be heard just as loud and as clearly as the band.
Yeah.
Like,
just got to turn it off. I think my limit's about five. If there's 500 people in there, any more than that, I can't do it. If it's less than that, I can probably deal with it because it's more community and whatever. But if it's 500 plus, freaking forget it. You're out.
Yep. Yeah, that's a topic for another day. And
it is indeed.
Things Twitch should be doing that they're not.
According to Blizzard, the beta will only have a small number of players, but there will be stress test weekend in which larger pools of players can log in. So they're going to do that, although nothing was said about dates. Excuse me. A new technology called layering will be used to smooth the launch. It allows for them to have multiple versions of each of the two continents running as needed. By the way, the whole thing's only 4 gig. Those were the days.
Yeah, that is weird.
Oh, man. Oh, that's lovely.
Isn't that crazy, though? I mean, I just
pretty
downloaded...
sure Hearthstone is more on my phone.
That's what I mean. I've got, like, I downloaded some crappy little indie game yesterday that's not very big and all in 8-bit graphics or whatever. That thing was 4 gigabytes. It's like, what the heck? I can't remember WoW ever being that small, but Apparently it was.
WoW is the game that doesn't get space on my SSD because it's just too big.
It's pretty crazy. It says they are not cross-realm and are only used so that the entire realm population isn't competing in one area at a time or to lessen login queues. The only way you can shift into a different layer is through party invites from others on your server who are on a different layer. So they're having to do a little bit of trickery there.
So essentially those are layers are it's zoning, but just for population management.
Yep.
Right. It's basically phasing tech.
Yeah.
Phasing. Yeah. Not zoning.
Yeah.
Zoning is a different thing.
Yeah. Phasing. A lot of people, raise their eyebrows at this because they're like, wait, I want my pure WoW experience. And they're like, well, do you want it with horrible queues and awful crash times and all those problems? Or do you want to get in and play?
Right. So, I look at this and I'm like, I get those concerns. You know, Blizzard has really gone to extreme lengths to make Classic as true to the original experience as they possibly could. But this is kind of necessary. Like, I don't want to sit in a queue. I don't want servers to crash.
Right.
Like,
that's the thing. The option is a queue system.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, if you're if you prefer the queue system, I think you're going a little bit far in your
attachment
to the original experience.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this as success insurance. Like, if Classic is really successful, this is going to make it a fun time to play it at launch. Whereas if it's successful, it would stink to try and play it at launch.
Yeah. They did say that once they've got, at launch, they've got populations under control and they feel good about it, they turn that off once numbers are stable. So they won't have this permanently. It's just to get off the ground. It's something they would probably wish they'd have had when they launched because, every game like this has problems at launch.
Dude, I bet it's something they wish they had during Burning Crusade.
Yeah.
Because they funneled everybody into the same damn zone through the same damn gate.
Yeah.
And funny enough, actually, I was thinking about this the other day because I'm hoping that Classic is successful and we get Classic BC servers and eventually Classic Lich King servers. And I was like, oh, man, what the hell are they going to do for Burning Crusade? Because that was such a shit show when it launched. And then this news came out a couple days after I had that thought. I'm like, oh, they already figured it out. Cool.
Yeah. They have a way to handle it. So.
And the thing is, you have to understand, every person who has a WoW subscription right now is going to create a character at launch when Classic launches. Even people, I think, like us, who are not necessarily interested in the game long term.
Hey, like
Garrett. Garrett keeps saying this, but I still think Garrett falls off after about a month. I think you're going to poop out. Because you're going to get far enough, you're going to go, this is okay. I'm grinding now. I'm going to go play the new game.
Let's say even Scott, people like Scott and myself, who are probably not going to play for more than, half an hour or an hour, maybe two. That means that the servers are going to be completely overloaded when it launches.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
they got to deal with that. And that's how they're doing it. And I'm totally fine with it. I think it's great. They're also not going to have the same names, so they're doing Classic servers will have brand new names for their realms. So there won't be an Arthas server, there won't be a Earthen Ring server. There'll be new names.
I can't roll on Lightbringer like I did.
Nope.
Back in the day.
Maybe they'll just change it slightly. It'll be Lightningbringer or something dumb.
Lightbulbbringer.
There you go. Anything to just light. How about Lightburger? That'd be a good one.
There you go.
Light burger. But they want to avoid confusion, which I think makes sense. And they also don't have an exact number of servers yet, but they're flexible as in terms of what they plan on doing. In-game items from... Oh, we got to talk about this. This is so exciting. We got to talk about the Collector's Edition.
Oh, my God. I want that so much.
All right.
Oh, the one... Wait.
Before years? Before we move to that, anything else you guys want to say about Classic? So far, players are like, it's freaking Warcraft-ass Warcraft. Like, that's what I'm hearing. I'm not on the beta yet, but if I do, same. I'll poke in there.
We remember what Warcraft was,
Yeah.
What World of Warcraft was. We played it a lot. The only thing I would like to say is it hasn't changed for me. It's very cool that people who want to play it can. And I still think we'll see, but I still think it's not going to be, we'll never know, I guess, but it's not going to be a big money maker for Blizzard.
Yeah.
I think it is there's not going to be a lot of people playing. I don't know how you define a lot, but I would be surprised if it was more than a couple hundred thousand people playing it, which I think is not a lot compared to the active population in WoW. But we'll see. Maybe I'll be wrong. And the thing is, we're going to get a number. The one number we're going to get is Blizzard coming out after the first weekend saying 6 million people tried World of Warcraft, created a character in World of Warcraft Classic. Right, which means nothing because all of us are going to go do it and stop playing after a couple of hours.
Right.
So I don't think we're ever going to know how successful it is long term.
Well, they don't really give those numbers anymore anyway, unless they're astronomical.
Right.
So it's possible that they, you're right. They'll talk about the initial login. I should also mention they want to preserve some of the things like collector's edition items that you would have gotten back in 2004 if you purchased the collector's edition, the Zerg pet, and... What was the other thing you got? There was two pets.
There was a Diablo pet, a Zerg pet, and a panda.
Oh, that's right. Those are only available if you get the collector's edition for retail. And if you already had it, if you have an original collector's edition on your vanilla WoW, or sorry, of vanilla WoW on your account, you can re-access the pet rewards. But they're not going to re-release it for anyone who didn't get it. So for those who got that stuff, invested that stuff early, you'll get it. If you didn't and you missed that, they're not making it available in some other way.
There was a time, and that time was many years in a row, where I obsessed over trying to get one of these and failed, and I have since put that in my mind.
Yeah. You'll be pissed at me then, because I got a box unsealed, or sorry, an unopened collector's edition original one right over there that's still got its codes intact. You're probably
Well, Scott, never invite me to your home.
You want to get robbed while I'm there? Don't invite me. There will be no tokens in Classic WoW, but they will support realm transfer in Classic through the current in-game service structure. So you can do some realm moving. That is not something that was available at launch, but hey, it's a nice little feature. They're going to take community feedback on how community is progressing and figure out when to proceed with content phases. Cross-realm PvP battlegrounds are included when they launch in Phase 3. It says here, you cannot add a person of the opposing faction to your Battle.net friends list by right-clicking them in the game in Classic. You can do it outside of that, or if you already have them as friends, that's not going to change. But if you do it in the Battle.net launcher, you could do it there. And they said if Classic is successful and the community wants it, other Classic expansions could be on the table, which Garrett alluded to earlier.
And yeah, that's to Patrick's comments about they're going to spin it to be successful no matter what, and then we'll probably not hear numbers again. I don't care about any of that. I just hope it's successful enough to warrant BC Classic.
Yeah, I agree. All right, we're going to jump around a little bit here because I still want to hit the Jalen Brack stuff, but I want to hit this pre-order stuff first. Pre-ordering of the World of Warcraft 15th Anniversary Edition, Collector's Edition. It is sold out now?
It was sold out when they announced it, basically.
So they're done. Are they never going to do another run, or are they done?
No, there's going to be many runs, I think.
Okay.
They updated the post shortly after, being like, hey, GameStop and Amazon, go get it there. And that's also sold out. So I have heard nothing about additional runs, so I don't know.
Did any of us,
was of the belief that it's over.
Yeah.
That all the ones that they were going to sell have already been claimed.
It seems likely.
In Europe, we've been getting additional rounds regularly. But I don't know that it means it will be common.
That's true.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I really want that Ragnaros statue. It's really cool,
guys. It's pretty good. The Rag statue is really cool. They say this.
Also,
go ahead.
It is a collector's edition for a something without a game.
Yeah, weird.
So there is no game.
No, there isn't.
That collector's edition.
Nope.
It's just, would you like to give us $100 to get excited about 15 years of World of Warcraft? And the answer is yes. Yeah. Yes, I would.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I totally would. Yeah.
Not only will I do that, but also I will fight very hard to try and find a place where it's not sold out.
Yeah. I don't know where to look. I mean, I assume I'm going to have to wait until somebody restocks or Blizzard says we're doing another run or something. But currently the Behold Ragnaros statue, he who is ancient when this world was young, bow mortals before his 10-plus-inch immortalization of the Fire Lord himself. So there's that, and it's really cool. Like, that thing looks legit. Unlike those terrible-looking figurine things you're getting at BlizzCon in your goodie bag,
I don't mind them.
They're
terrible.
They look like plastic poopah. They're not good.
Plastic poopah?
Yeah, they don't look good. They look like poop.
I like the stylization. I think it's kind of cool. Yeah. Except, oh wait, never mind. Doesn't matter.
Oh, all right.
Ignore me.
Okay,
ignore me.
All right. They don't have penises. Is that what you were gonna say? It's fine.
Yeah, I was really hoping for a 3D rendered piece of orc junk.
Yeah, an anatomically correct rendition of the character you love so much for so long. I get it. You get an Onyxia pin. I was going to do a dumb joke about the guy that used to say more dots, but I couldn't think of anything funny, so I'm not going to do it. Anyway, add to your pin collection and adorn your home with the head of Onyxia, broodmother of the Black Dragonflight. So that's,
that's just a little pin, right?
Yeah, it's just not a pin. You don't like pins, Patrick? It's not incredible. You don't like pins?
Well, I mean, it's fine, but, you know, in a $100 thing, that's not the thing I'm going to be paying attention to. If I'm being honest, there's actually not much I want to pay attention to in that $100 thing. It's really just the statue.
Yeah,
right?
That's kind of it for me too.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't think the mounts are particularly cool. I think the mounts are kind of lame.
The alabaster mounts?
Oh, I like them.
Oh, they're cool.
Personally.
I like those alabaster mounts. I like them. I mean, what you're saying, I mean, okay, I will say that I had this one thought when I first saw them. I said, oh, alabaster mounts, cool. And then I saw them and went, it's like they just have a couple of other mounts they didn't have to skin. That's kind of what they are. They're basically,
that's why they're lame.
Yeah,
like, and they're going to have the same organic movement, even though they look like they're made out of stone. Not for me.
Yeah,
I just want the Ragnaros statue. That's all I want.
They look really cool statically, but I think you're right. In actual movement, it's just going to look like unskinned, untextured models. Is what
that would look really cool in a game like God of War, where they have the tech to make stone moving look cool.
Yeah,
and like it should. But in World of Warcraft, it's just going to look like like you wrapped a car in fake marble texture.
Actually, thanks for saying that. It's one of the unsung things about God of War was the stone tech is freaking top notch. Nobody makes cooler stone shit than that game.
That and their skinning the front of a werewolf tech was pretty solid too.
Yeah, that's true. They did a good job there. you also get a Map of Azeroth mouse pad. That'll get you, Patrick. Get that. That's now you're in. Gaze upon the realms of your characters and what he's explored over these past 15 years while you prepare for the next adventure. You get fine art prints. You get 30 days of game time. That's kind of cool. That's worth...
I forgot about the fine art prints.
Wow. Yeah,
I would like those.
Garrett likes art. I like art. I'm down with it.
Oh, I like art. I'm just like the 30 days of game time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's $15, I guess, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little added value to the box with no game in it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. By the way, the Alabaster Mounts, the Storm Talon is the Alliance one, and Thunderwing is the Horde one. The cooler looking one, I think, is the Alliance one, actually. The other one's just another... It looks like the taxi mount, the Wyverns, to me. Like, there's nothing special about that Horde mount, but that... I don't know. There's something about a big stone eagle looking thing that's rad. So well done, Alliance. You got the better end of that deal, I think. Anyway, who knows if they'll be back on sale. Hopefully they will be, and soon. Okay. Can't believe it's been 15 years either. That's freaking me out.
That is the weird earth.
Isn't that weird? Oh, man. 15.
Yeah.
And you know that 12 of that.
And you know what's even weirder?
What?
In 5 years... It will be 20 years.
What the frick?
That's incredible. Also, hey, do you have in your notes the event, the in-game event that we're also going to get and the reward for that?
Right.
In-game event?
I didn't detail it. It's part of this thing, I think. But why don't you tell people about it, Patrick, since you know more than me about it?
Well, essentially, there's going to be an in-game event. We don't know what it's going to entail exactly, but it will have a reward, which is a mini Deathwing, which is incredible looking. And I think it's very intentionally the news was released at the same time as the $100 collector's edition with no game to make sure that people could not say, hey, you're not giving anyone to the people who aren't paying you. But the Deathwing mount, I think, looks amazing. And
yeah. The Worldbreaker mount, yeah, is absolutely incredible. There's also, a Nefarian Whelpling to get picked up. Yeah, little Nefarian.
Yeah, that one's cool, too. Yeah, I mean, the fact that after all this time, we can actually ride on a mount that looks like Deathwing or is Deathwing is pretty exciting. I mean, the closest it's we had to this really before was model. What, like, Arthas's freaking Mal, what's her name? Sandragosa? Well,
there were all kinds of, yeah, frost worms to get picked up in Lich King, but
was any of them actually her though? I can't remember.
I mean, they're it's the same model. Right. No, none of the, we kill Sandragosa, so that wouldn't make any sense.
And is this mount? Well, is this mount called Deathwing,
or is it's it just, called no. the Worldbreaker? Okay. Obsidian Worldbreaker.
All right. So it's not really,
but it's basically like Deathwing.
I just like the idea that it would be, we beat him so bad that now I can ride him. You know,
it's, like it's a very cool mount.
Yeah, yeah. It's very
whatever
sexy.
I need to do, I will be. I'll be playing that. Oh, it looks like there'll be a 25 player raid to celebrate 15. Yeah. I missed that part. I just looked at the mount.
Yeah.
Yep. That's how you're going to be able to be able to get this mount.
They don't say what the anything else about the raid though. Like it could be a greatest hit sort of thing, time walking style.
Yeah, they do say you're going to beat bosses from the history of WoW. Don't
Where
they?
Did they say that? Yes, I missed all of that. This
raid will pit players against some of the most iconic bosses from throughout the game's history.
Wow. All right.
How are they cool. doing this? Are we just going to phase between raids? That'd be really cool.
I don't know how I missed that.
Oh, they can put them in one room, you know?
Man, just so one big room.
Okay, now it's the Ragnaros room.
Well, yeah, no, you do it like it's like like a Shattered Universe kind of thing, or Caverns of Time or something, but you just, you know, recreate those moments and I don't know what the context would be or why it's happening.
I would be very impressed. I'll say this. So, I would be very impressed if they made a new zone for this. I'm pretty sure that we're just kind of maybe port between fight locations.
Yeah.
So many boss fights are very specific to the room that they take place in.
Yeah. I would rooms are mechanics too, right? Like it's not just
exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, if you fight Arthas, the freaking sides fall off.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're going to do Magtheridon.
When I said one room, I meant one room per boss, and you move from room to room.
Yeah. Mm, gotcha. Yeah, I would just assume that they would just be some sort of porting mechanic that would get you to those fights. Right. But whatever the case is, this sounds really fun.
I wish that the mount for, what's his bucket? The Worldbreaker mount. I wish that you could occasionally flick little orcs off your wings and stuff. You know what I mean? Because you remember that intro where they're like all working on him and then he freaks out and they all get tossed into the goo? I want that. I want to just occasionally be like bugs on you, like, ah, there's orcs over here, and just and they go flying off that way.
I just want the mount to randomly scream pain and agony at the top of his lungs and like cause my speakers to peek out. That's what I want.
Pain. Oh, that's such a good intro. I love that. All right.
I think it's actually my least favorite cinematic. But
is it really? I love that one.
Oh, really? Why?
Yeah.
The world is super barren. There's like no one in the world. Like he's trashing the world and no one's there. There's no one on the docks in Darkshore. There's no one on that boat that flips over in Stranglethorn Vale. It's not my jam.
I don't know. I mean,
they're all amazing, right? Like one of them has to be not as good. And I call Cataclysm.
I see what you're saying. It's like saying, let's look at all the MCU movies. In that context, there's one that's the best and maybe one that's not the best, but it's only within that list. If you compare it to anything else, it's
right,
higher.
Right.
I get what you're saying.
There's three Lord of the Rings movies that are all masterpieces. One of them's not as good as the rest, and it's Return of the King.
That's it. Whoa, wait a minute. we're going to have words, you and I, because it definitely isn't. I'll tell you the worst one. It's Two Towers. Come at me about Two Towers. That's a horrible one. That's the worst
one. Two Towers is the best one.
It's sleepy. It's so sleepy. I want to sleep through the whole thing. It's so tired.
It has Helm's Deep, man. Helm's Deep is amazing.
Helm's Deep is good. I'm saying it has its moments, but so does, I don't know, Catwoman.
Actually, I find myself, the older I get, the more Fellowship becomes my favorite Lord of the Rings movie.
Fellowship of the Ring is pretty dang good. I guess I'll agree with you there. Anyway, that's why I love subjective opinions. In the end, it doesn't matter. We're all friends. I'm going to sign a 500-person or 500,000-person what's it called? What did they sign for the Game of Thrones thing? It's called a petition. I'm going to sign a petition to fight
it's called
you.
A piece of paper for dumb people to put their names on.
Ding. Well said. All right. Someone's going to get mad at that. That's fine. I don't care. Let's move on to this thing about J. Allen Brack. He sat down with Forbes magazine.
This interview is so lame.
Interesting. All right, we have a preview from Garrett already. Let's see where it kind of went, what happens here. A lot of it is very corporate speak. J. Allen Brack wants fans to know that the company has more in development than any other point in their history, and their commitment to quality remains. Says that Mike Morhaime stayed on an advisory role to Brack and told him all the things he was doing wrong. They want the company to outlive all of them. And so it is only natural at some point for other people to take over. Mike Morhaime
Some really bold statements here.
Yeah.
We want the company to be successful. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, really, really taking a chance with this interview, Mr. Brack.
It's very top layer stuff. It's something with Forbes like this, like they're not going to get into the nitty gritty and talk about, you know, Diablo Immortal and the reasons why that was a mistake. They're going to talk more about, we've never been more committed to Blizzard's core, blah, blah, blah. Yes,
I think the couple of things that are interesting are that they are reiterating their commitment to having many, many games being in development right now, right? We're not shifting to mobile and doing just that.
Yeah.
We're doing a lot of games, including PC, which we knew, I guess, but he's saying it again.
Yeah, he's reiterating. He also says that the fact that two veteran Blizzard developers are now leading Blizzard should ease concerns that development has been overwhelmed by financial concerns in recent years. Their core mission in creating amazing games with players with a commitment to quality has not changed with the leadership. Now, when he says two, who's he talking about? Is he talking about Frank Pierce? Who does he mean?
No, it's who's the producer? Is it Gresko? I can't remember. I apologize. I can't remember, but it's Brack and there's someone else.
That's the thing. I don't know who this someone else is.
There's two.
Who would that other person be?
Gresko? I don't think it's Ray Gresko. I don't know. But yeah, that's what I think we were saying, or at least what I was saying when they announced it. They could have easily put an Activision or financial type person in charge of the company. Of course, that would have been met with a lot of doubt, let's say politely.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it does mean something that it's the guy who was in charge of WoW for many, many, many years who's the president.
Oh, it's Alan Adham.
Oh.
No.
He's not.
Adham is in charge of the...
He's the incubator lord, and he's also the original founder of the company, but came back to do that. I don't think
but isn't his official title still like senior VP?
I don't know.
Oh, there are tons of senior VPs, but
because isn't technically
there's Adham and Pierce are the founders,
co-founders
of the company,
yeah,
along with Morhaime.
Yeah,
but there is someone else who's not as much in the limelight.
If you got stuck in an elevator with Frank Pierce, what would be the first thing you'd say to him? Just curious. This is going to be.
Say nothing and pray that he doesn't get angry at me.
That was kind of where I was driving. That was exactly what I thought you'd say, because that's how I feel about it. He scares me. He intimidates me.
I mean, I'm sure he's a very nice person, but all of the very few interactions I've had with him, you know, he seems like a grouchy grandpa, which. You know, I don't know how nice he actually is, but he's like grumpy, and I don't know. He's the only person I've ever met at Blizzard, and I've met a few, including, you know, famous developers and people we admire. He's the only person who I was actually a little bit not uncomfortable, but like, ooh, I don't know what to say, and I feel you're gonna yell at me.
Yeah,
the word I would use is intense.
He's very intense.
He comes off as intense.
The only time he really comes out on stage is to say something very intense, and then he leaves, and then looks very intense for the rest of the day. And yeah, he's a guy I would not want to be stuck in an elevator with. I'm sure at the end of the day, he's like anybody else. I'm sure he's fine, but he scares me.
Oh yeah, I'm sure too. But yeah,
he just scares me. They go on to talk about the NetEase relationship and how they think that's going to be good. I mean, it's all, you know, this is all PR speak. Pretty much. They also touched on one thing that I thought was interesting. Out-of-house outsourcing is not a strategic priority for Blizzard. They have utilized it for other games, such as StarCraft Remastered, but it's not something that they want to do. So that's interesting, because that's what a lot of companies, that is what they're doing now. They are outsourcing tons of stuff, including development. Blizzard doesn't want to do that so much.
Pretty standard for the industry as a whole.
Yeah. Although, Immortal's kind of that. I mean...
Oh, yeah, totally. So, but that's a case, again, where like I look at that as a positive. Like, if you don't like... If you're one of the people who quickly turn to studios making games that you don't like because you wish the effort was being put elsewhere, it should be at least some solace knowing that it's not teams at Blizzard really being pulled to work on Immortal.
Yeah, this is all true.
Immortal was fine. Like, it played really well.
It's fine. For what it is, it's fine, you guys. It was just a bad, bad presentation. A very tone-deaf, weird presentation.
That should have been in the middle of the opening ceremony.
Or
buried it in the middle.
Do it at Gamescom, or do it at PAX, or do it off air, like, or off stage. Like, do it somewhere.
Or
else.
Let's not rehash that entire thing.
Hey, why not, Patrick? Let's go back and let's dig a hole.
All right. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Let's go find my axe and head out and get to them.
Wait, save it for this year, and they go, and you can download and play it right now. Because that would have been such a better way to just shell
if it
that
was,
out.
If it was playable that day, it'd be a lot less complaining, because it would have just been a cool thing to do.
I think it was fairly certain, they were certain it would leak at some point.
Oh, yeah. Mm. It really didn't, which is crazy. Is it bad that I knew about it the day before and didn't tell anyone? is that bad?
No, that means can be trusted and will probably be invited to do other things for Blizzard.
Yeah, I did know about it, but I didn't say anything to anyone.
Yeah, I had a similar run-in with League of Explorers for Hearthstone.
Hmm.
So we got to visit the studio and there was key art out, and I'm like, oh my god, this is so cool. Why didn't you ever use this art for anything? It didn't have the logo, and I'm just there being an idiot thinking it was art that they never used for anything. And then the next day they announce it and I'm like, oh, I'm dumb.
Oh.
Yeah.
What did they say when you were like, oh, why didn't you use it?
They're this is back when Ben Bro was still there and he was like, just keep walking.
Yeah. Don't say anything.
Yeah, it was good. We were on our way to see their conference room, which was named the Angry Chicken in honor of the show, which seemed good.
Oh, that's awesome. Is that true? Awesome.
Is it really in honor of the show?
That's really great.
Yeah, that's what we're told. They may have just been being nice to us, but they told us
that's
that,
really cool.
Yeah, their conference
room. That's very cool. I like that a lot.
At the time, I think they have a better setup now, but I think that's where they used to call in when they would guest on the show.
Oh, all right. They have a better space now. I think they're all using that little...
they all have definitely upgraded their setups for sure, because the last few times we've had like Peter Whalen on, like, they've got a really nice condenser mic set up and it's solid.
Well, good for them, because for a while there, Blizzard took a while to get that stuff right. Final note, he says Blizzard's goal is to create something great, whether it is with a current IP or an entirely new one. Some says something to work on is figuring out the challenges of having many different kinds of games in development to make intelligent decisions on the next steps for each project. It's all, again, very boilerplate, but whatever. At least they're getting out there and talking, and it's probably a good time to be doing that.
The sky is blue.
All of those things are absolutely true. Okay, we got to talk about Audible real quick. I love Audible. It's how I get my fantasy on. I like fantasy books. I like science fiction. I like genre. And that's a great place to get it, is Audible and audiobooks. Listening makes us smarter and more connected people. I think that's true. Audible is where so many inspiring voices and compelling stories open listeners up to new experiences and ways of thinking. The Audible app lets members gain access to Audible anytime at the gym or anywhere on the go, on any device. It will always pick right up where you left off. That is kind of nice. And you get free daily access to things like the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and Washington Post delivered right to your Audible app. There's no better place to listen. Audible members choose three titles every month, one audiobook plus two Audible originals that you can hear anywhere on your Audible device or your Audible app, but you can't get them anywhere else. You literally cannot hear them anywhere else. Just go to audible.com/wow or text wow to 500-500 and browse their unmatched selection of audio content. That's audible.com, audible.com/wow. Or you can text WOW to 500-500. And I think you're going to love it. There's so many books on there to enjoy. I started reading those gigantic books from Brandon Sanderson. Someone finally talked me into it. his entire library is up there. But I just got started, and it's been great so far. Really, really well done. Amazing voices. And you can find anything you need. So go check that stuff out. Again, start listening with a 30-day trial and your first audiobook, plus two Audible originals. They're free as well. When you go to audible.com/wow or text WOW, that's W-O-W, to 500-500 on your phone. Again, that is audible.com/wow or text WOW to 500-500. Now let's do this. There are other things happening around Blizzard. We will hit Overwatch first. There's not a lot new going on, except I guess there's something I missed about... chat room was talking about it earlier. Patrick, maybe you know about this. I before the show started is when I heard, and I didn't have time to jump in and check on it, but there's something going about on. What? Some kind of invite thing for Overwatch? Some kind of beta invite deal?
Oh, no, it's not. I mean, the workshop, what I know is it? The Forge.
Oh, that's the Forge. Right. Isn't that called Workshop? I think Forge is in
it the Workshop. I thought it was the Forge.
I thought Forge is a Halo thing. Wait, do I have that wrong in my head? I don't know.
I mean, it was also a Halo thing.
And, yeah.
Okay.
It was definitely a Halo thing.
Yes.
But it's also, I don't think they, I don't think they copyrighted Forge.
Yeah. I can't find it, though.
So do you want to know what it is?
Yeah, tell me what's going on. I mean, I know about the workshop and what it's going to allow people to do, but is this just, are they letting people use it yet? Is it in the game in any form yet? Like, what's the deal with it?
Yeah, you can, I mean, it's on PTR? Wait, now I'm not sure. I haven't tried it myself, but I know people are doing stuff with it already, so maybe that's the invite-only part.
Might be.
But yeah, people are designing game modes which are fairly original and different from what you can do. The thing is, the Forge is scripting, but it does not allow you to import assets. So no graphics, no going to modify the geography of the world. You can't import sound or anything like that. So it's really, I guess, limited in what you can do, but there's still a number of things that it allows you to do.
Draven Dresden in the chat says, worst workshop idea ever, Bastion firing Bobs. I disagree. That's the best idea ever.
Yeah, there's stuff like, you have stuff like, I think a famous one is Turbjorn turrets firing Torbjorns. And there's stuff like a ping system that's been implemented. There's a bunch of stuff. Like, it's fairly robust. It can do a lot of things.
It's basically modding, but in a sandbox. I mean,
it's modding. Well, it's not a sandbox. It's just that you can't have art assets added at all, or modify the existing.
That's what I mean. It's like it's trapped in, it's walled in, but within those walls,
it's scripting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's great. Well, I'm into it.
There goes my hope for a lingerie-clad Genji.
What, you dream?
Sorry,
have you dreamt about this, or what's the deal? Super into it, eh? All right,
you know,
I like it.
You know, teach their own, Scott. Teach their own.
I did confirm it is called Workshop. It is not called the Forge. I don't know why we thought it was the Forge, but there's some Forge language in the game. But I think that's the Forge inside of a map. Like them, one of the maps has a big Forge in it, and now I don't know which one that is. Well, whatever. So that's the thing. That's cool. I'm actually really excited about that. So it reminds me of my old Quake days when scripty, weird stuff would happen and we'd install it and do wacky stuff in games. This will obviously be a lot more user-friendly, and you'll be able to use codes, is my understanding, from people's creations.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you have all of it.
You can enter a code, and that creates the game mode for you. There are modes like something called Zombies, where you play soldiers that can only run. That's all you can do. And when you get there's one Reaper, and when you get killed by Reaper, you become a Reaper.
Oh, cool.
And so the last soldier that's there wins. That's the level of customization you can expect from this thing.
That's great. Bastion shooting multiple Bobs. Sign me up. I'm in. Hearthstone. All right, Garrett, do I want to play Dalaran Heist Part 1 and 2 or not?
You want to give them your money right now, Scott.
Really? Tell me. Okay. Yeah. All the talk has been, hey, they're working on something that plays like Slay the Spire, more of a deck builder kind of thing.
I haven't played Slay the Spire, so I can't speak to how how Spire-esque it is or is not. All I can say that as the grumpiest grump you've ever known in regards to Hearthstone single player, I really like Dalaran Heist. It's really good.
Give me the quick rundown.
How's it different
of what,
from runs?
Yeah,
from
what's, what is the difference? Tell us.
They've actually improved.
Oh. You guys locked up right then? Really? Really?
Back like a dungeon run, but there's way deeper systems to actually manipulate your deck as you are in the middle of the run. And there's all nine classes to play that are in the game. And then each class has three hero powers you can unlock and four decks total you can unlock for all nine classes. So that's already, before you even start your run, that's how much customization you have before you even hit go.
Okay.
And also, you have to unlock these things through quests. So even if, say, you are to not complete your run because, say, boss 8 kicks your butt, you're still completing these quests and unlocking things for these heroes. So it doesn't feel as bad now when you lose to that 8th boss. I would imagine once you unlock everything, it'll probably still feel pretty bad to lose it at 8th boss, which is always a big gripe of mine. But they've certainly improved it majorly in that regard. And then on top of all of this, I believe twice during your run you stop into what they're calling like tavern encounters, and they're like friendly encounters. There's no combat. You go in, you talk to a tavern keep, they put out cards, you randomly put out some cards, and you can get rid of cards that you don't like in your deck. You can take cards from the bartender and put it into your deck. There's cards that let you buff your own cards permanently for the rest of the run. And then you can also copy cards that you like, and it puts more copies in your deck. So you can like do these weird combos in this non-combat encounter where you buff a card and then add three more copies of it to your deck, and it keeps that buff permanently for the whole run.
You're describing Slay the Spire. You're literally describing it. That's fantastic.
Okay, cool. Haven't played it, so I didn't know.
No, this is great news. This is really good news to me because I love that kind of deck builder. It's a different approach to cards and decks, and I love it. And let me ask you this. Is there any procedural randomness to it? In other words, do you branch off? Can you choose different paths between?
You can't choose different paths.
Okay.
But the bosses that you're fighting are still randomly selected, as they always have been with dungeon runs.
Okay, so it kind of works that way anyway.
Yeah, so there's five chapters of 8 boss runs. And there's also heroic mode. There's a modified mode. What do they call it? It's like anomaly, I think is what they're calling it, where you can play with like a weird twist on the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of content here, and you're getting cards to keep, and you're getting a new legendary that gives you decks to play with, and they're weird. And
Well, that was my other question. So actual rewards, you're rewarded at the end of these fights. It's not just, hey, that was fun, do it again. You're getting real rewards this time.
The card packs that you get, you only unlock those once. You can't keep getting card packs out of this thing.
Do you
There's
get
a finite
gold?
Amount of card packs.
Do you get gold or any kind of anything?
No. You get card packs per chapter, a finite amount. The other things you're unlocking are things like new decks for the heroes to use in the dungeon run, new hero powers for the heroes to use in the dungeon run.
Okay. Still sounds a lot better than what they were before.
It is way better. I mean, from the three dungeon runs that they did were all essentially the same, and I never played any of them past the first one because, well, I dipped my toe in the second one that they put out, and I'm like, this is just the same thing. They didn't go deep enough with it. So
what's cost on this thing? What are people?
$19.99 US.
Okay, for those first two chapters.
No, for the whole thing.
For the entire thing, they're just piecemealing
it. The first chapter is free. The second chapter is available right now. You can unlock the four additional chapters with gold if you don't want to spend money. Or you can just pay $20 and you get the whole darn thing.
All right. I think I'm going to play Hearthstone later.
Yeah, you should, man. I was streaming it last night. I don't stream Hearthstone. I hate it because I'm not the best. Everyone's like, oh, you do a Hearthstone show. I'm like, no, man, I'm the casual guy on that show. Like, I'm not that good, and I sweat like a sinner in church streaming my Hearthstone games. But I was streaming the crap out of single player last night because it is so much fun.
All right. Well, you've convinced me. Patrick, are you going to play more Hearthstone now? Are you in? You back in?
I don't think so. I finally tried Slay the Spire a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And it was very much a satisfying single player version of Hearthstone, which I guess I already know Hearthstone. I've played it nonstop for 2 years, and I think I've had my fill, and my fill is still filled.
That's crazy. You see Slay the Spire is just more Hearthstone. That's insane. I mean, Slay the Spire
No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying Slay the Spire is a very well-designed version of a card game that is focused on single player, but it's still a card strategy game.
It absolutely is.
You have a boss,
yeah.
You have to beat, but and in you that have game, cards. And,
yeah, but in that game, you have a deck, and you build upon that deck every run. So in other words, it's not a bunch of cards you had to collect to say, ooh, I've got the perfect deck going into this, the way Hearthstone and other CCGs sure. are. It's more like a deck of like playing cards to play poker. You're going to get, you know what in there, and then you enhance it during that run, and you boost cards and all of that. It's like a very, I don't know why that appeals to me so much.
But the moment-to-moment gameplay is still card strategy. Like, you have to decide, okay, I have this hand at the moment, I have to use this card before this one, and get this synergy and this buff. You know, it's the round is kind of, the way your brain is supposed to function is very similar to the way your brain functions when you have, you know, one round of Hearthstone.
You're totally right. Yeah, that's absolutely true. Well, I'm going to try it. I want to see what's up. Games Radar gave it this quote: Hearthstone has outdone itself with the dollar on heist. It's best single player roguelike yet. Ooh.
I guess maybe I should give it a try. I don't know. You're both.
I mean, the first chapter's free. There's no buy-in required to give it a shot, man. So
it's it's like a card that you have to put in your deck in Hearthstone. You're like, oh, this card is awesome. I should definitely put it in my deck. But you're putting that card instead of another one. Mm-hmm. So there's an opportunity cost there. And playing Hearthstone is spending time playing that game and not playing another game that you might want to play. Mm. So that's the cost. There.
It's a good point.
Yes, well, luckily it is on your phone, and I mean, what else do you play on your phone?
Nothing right now. Well, actually not Twitter, true. I'm playing.
Twitter is a fantastic phone game that you cannot win.
Yeah.
It's the hardest. No matter what you do, you lose at that game.
Never has there been a more intense PvP game than Twitter.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No kidding. I am playing a game on there called, Pirates Outlaws, it's called. And it's basically Slay the Spire, which sounds a lot like this Dollar on Heist. So if you're like, man, I wish I had a cool mobile version of what you guys are talking about, outside of Hearthstone, I guess.
You can just play what you're talking about on your phone.
But if you're looking for something different that is like not them and it's a simple focus, that one's a very Slay the Spire experience, and it's really good. You'll get super hooked on it. And it's not free-to-play garbage. You can just pay for it and play it. All right, that's it. Oh, real quick, Anduin is awesome in Heroes of the Storm, and I just wanted to make that point because a lot of people aren't talking about him, and I don't even like him as a character in general, but his kit and his play style in Heroes of the Storm is fantastic. If you're a healer especially, he's great. I'm winning games with that guy, and I like him a lot, so there's that. All right, let's do this.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
he turned 19 yesterday, the town crier. Think of that. Pretty weird, right?
My mortality is becoming more and more real.
I know.
All every day.
I know. When I started playing WoW, that kid was 3.5 years old. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Time is weird. Hey, these are emails we got. theinstance@gmail.com is where they sent them, and we're going to read them on the show. Like this one from somebody named Orpflog. He says, hiya fellas,
is it Orkfrog or Orpflog?
It's Orp with a P, flog, like F-L-O-G. Orpflog.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for that precision.
I'm happy to give you what you need, Patrick. Whatever you need, I'm here for you, buddy. Hiya fellas, says Orpflog. Here's a couple of questions that I have been thinking of. Number one, how fast will it take for a person to reach level 60 in Classic? And what will be the average amount of time it will take to reach 60? The first person will be nuts and just play for like straight.
It will,
you know, like, what do you think? It'll be like it used to be.
There's one thing people don't realize. they have kept the leveling roughly equivalent to level to max level throughout all of the expansions.
Right.
So it's not like it takes twice as long to level from 0 to 120 than it did from 0 to 60. So it will probably be about the same time as it does to level someone from 0 to 120, mm-hmm. which is, I don't know, 2-3 days?
Yeah, let's see. Not more than that. Casually, the estimate casually is 4 to 5 days. If you're, I don't know, that seems fast. It took me a
long time. First thing I pulled, I don't even remember. I'm looking on the forums right now, and the consensus on this particular thread I found is roughly 10 days played.
Yeah.
No way. Yeah. No way.
Yeah. No, I think that's right.
People will group up. They'll do AOE, mob gathering. I don't think it will be 10 days played.
Let me see.
Maybe, well, you know, I think this thread is mostly talking about people who play normally. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you
But that's not the question. The question is, how do you think, how long will it take for
people to work through it?
Well, he asked both questions. He says, how long for the guy who's first versus how long for your average player? And I would say your average player, let's say 7 to 10 days if they're focused on, you know, chunks of playtime. If you're a psycho, you'll probably do it in the first 48 hours or something weird.
I played for about a year and a half before BC hit, and I only reached level 42. Granted, I did not know what I was doing.
Right.
I was a hunter.
Yeah.
I didn't know that I could up the talent levels on my pet, which really made it hard. And I was playing the wrong spec. I was survival. Mm. So yeah, I would imagine I would go a lot quicker this time around.
It's also a lot of talk in some of these threads about how 58 through 60 took 6 days for people to do. So it gets even crazier once you ping 60.
The high levels took a long time. Mm-hmm. If you weren't, you know, gaming the system with some kind of, you know, big like zone pools in a group. But
okay,
you know,
maybe I don't remember it correctly.
My memory is it took a long time. Like this one says, this guy's saying about a month of casual play, but he's not giving any sort of data to back that up. So there's probably even a way to take your time played or your slash played. There's probably some mod or something out there that'll tell you what and where you spent your time and how long it took you in certain zones or something. I don't know. Maybe not.
It's here's the thing. Like, we know how to play it correctly now, so it's going to be shorter for most of us than it was back in the day, but I still think it's going to be longer than a lot of us are thinking.
Yeah.
For the general players.
Neax of Garona, that's the server, says, hey there, Scott, Garrett, maybe Patrick, and possibly Terpster. Sorry. 3 out of 4 ain't bad. With Classic quickly approaching, I'm feeling hopeful that we'll hear the end of the long-used excuse that WoW's very poorly aged geometry situation can't be updated because of nostalgia. The current art style, especially in Kul Tiras, is incredible, in my opinion, as it feels like walking through a painting, and I love to see more of the same sort of updates that Arathi and Darkshore have received. I imagine an up-to-date Ungoro or Elwynn Forest that has more of the vibe envisioned by the Warcraft movie. Just the thought of it makes my one-time would-be inner 3D artist stupidly happy. What do you all think? Will Classic's release finally free us from Scott's often complained about N64 tier trees? Cheers, Neax.
I mean, I do not think.
Yeah. What? At all, or
no? I don't. No, I don't think Classic will free us from this.
I don't either. I think. I think Classic. I mean, I've said since day one of Classic's announcement, I want them to do the Halo redo edition thing, where you could by a push of a button switch from original Xbox graphics to, you know, the modern remaster, and that was really cool that they did that. It was a really neat thing. I think that is probably technically a hurdle that is maybe not impossible, but ridiculously out of reach for Blizzard to do that with something like an MMO, especially this one that's this old. And so I don't think we're ever going to get it. We're just going to get vanilla, and we're going to get the new game, and that's kind of it.
Yeah. The problem is, if you went, I mean, they redid most of those zones in Cataclysm.
Yeah.
So that's what you get. And if they had to do them again, it's an immense amount of work. I don't know that it's reasonable to expect they would redo the entire zones every 5 years.
Yeah.
The entire world, especially as it gets
But couldn't
bigger.
They couldn't they do this, Patrick? Here's what I know they could do, because this is just database.
Okay.
Here's what they do.
Tell me what I know they could do.
They make a new tree, Okay, and they know that there's an ID for a certain kind of tree that's scattered all over Stone Talon Mountains, let's say. And they just say, all right, take the new model and fill it, take all, replace all the trees that are in there. They could do that.
Well, sure, that would be so easy. I wonder why they haven't done it yet. I guess, first of all, there are a ton of assets, you know, for each zone, there are probably many specific assets, and then you have different art styles for each expansion. So it's not just there's one tree in the entire land masses of all of World of Warcraft. There are many, many different trees, and then you have all of the art assets, you know, the buildings, the doors and the tables and all everything. So just redoing them is already an immense amount of work, and then you have to go in and place them differently, you know, arrange things a little bit, because they're not just the same ones, and
some are sized differently.
It doesn't fit exactly the same way. Yeah. So in order for it to look correct, you need to go and arrange them by hand.
I agree. There's probably, had they built it to be modular like that from the start, this would probably be an easier idea.
No. It's not. You still need to remake every asset that they have.
Right, but if every asset adhered to a certain set of rules, and tree number 4, 5, B8 needed an update, you just replace the geometry data and texture data for that exact tree, and it would be fine. But they didn't plan for that.
I don't think that's. Even if they did, that's the problem. That's what we're talking about. You would need to redo every asset in the game. And that
an argument could be made where if they just retextured the existing models, that it would be a major step forward in visually improving.
Yeah, still a bunch of work. Still a bunch of work, but yes, entirely possible. They could totally do it.
But there's,
but if you want like Kul'Tiris trees and Elwynn, like that's probably a brand new model.
And Patrick makes a good point, because here's the truth. I would be impressed the one time I went back to Sunken Temple and went, oh, look what they did. They fixed all this shitty stuff that used to be here, and I'm never going to go in there again. So so they're not doing it for any real payoff, unless they figure out a way to repurpose old content that makes it more, you know, regularly playable, but, you know, outside of time walking and stuff like that. So, yeah, Patrick's probably right.
Thank you.
I still think from a programmatic standpoint, if you go fly above an old zone and look down, you see lots of different sizes of the exact same geometry. They could go plug that yes, stuff in.
Of course, but there are thousands of assets that you need to redo. It's not like the entirety of the world of Azeroth and, you know, other landmasses has one tree. That's why I'm saying
just do one at a time and only the trees. I don't want anything else.
Okay, all right.
Because
you're gonna go to Crossroads, and you're like, God, these horde huts look like butt. Because the trees are gonna look amazing.
Yeah.
And then
I realize that.
The four polygon redskin huts. Like, I want those huts to look like they like Thrall's Farm in the cinematic.
No, it's like I get that. It's like old gear on new models as well. They're not those. That old gear, yeah. You'd have to go all do that. So I totally get it, and I think you're right from a practical standpoint. I'm just saying what I wouldn't mind seeing. If I go to that Swamp of Sorrows one more time and have to look down and see how shitty those trees look, I'm going to die. So maybe just...
Here's the rub with these kind of conversations. Where I have the most fun is saying what I would like to happen, and where it starts to fall on its face, and when we start talking about the realistic situation, which is this would be extremely hard and probably not worth it unless... The next expansion takes place in Old World and all of the zones of Old World. And even then, is it worth it for them to do that much work? They didn't even upgrade the trees in Cataclysm when they went back over Old World with a fine-tooth comb. It's still the old vanilla trees.
Yeah, there's no financial reason for them to do it. I wouldn't do it if I were them. This is just my own selfish wish. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about what we would love to see, then yes, we would love to see the entire game updated.
It's not impossible to think that by year 20 of this game, it's possible that someone will figure out a machine learning AI assisted procedurally generated sort of thing that just goes over the whole game and machine learning fixes everything that looks stupid. That's possible.
I think you are correct. Yes. No,
I would like wielded towards curing diseases, instead used to fix the trees in Darkshore.
Well, I mean, it would have a very specific job. Go through, comb it graphically and tweak it all up. And it would have its problems and its issues, but I'm telling you, at some point we're going to get there. That's how all games will get made. We're not there yet, though. That's it for emails. Thanks for your emails, both you people. I don't know if you were males or females, so I will not genderfy you. You can send us your own emails at theinstance@gmail.com. That's theinstance@gmail.com. And thus endeth the program. Before we go, a reminder that there's a great new way to support this show. Head on over to theinstance.net and click on our support button. You get the Instance Loot Stash, wherein you get all sorts of cool things every month that you couldn't get otherwise. And there's many tiers that you can get. And those tiers will be self-explanatory if you just go over there and click it. That's theinstance.net. Check it out. It's a great way to support the show and give back for these many years that we've been on the air, which is what, 14 to 12, four, whatever it is.
Get those art cards, man. It's got a really cool card back. Just saying.
The card back made by Garrett. Amazing. Very Hearthstone-y.
The art on the front is okay, too.
The art on the front for me depends on what it is. Like this last one, I just turned it in. I can't remember what I did. I did something cool, very WoW related, and I don't remember. Oh, it's an orc holding a giant doom hammer over his shoulder.
I was about to say, I know you sent it to me, but you sent it to me a while ago.
Yeah, it's been a little while.
All I remember is orc.
Yeah, there's always an orc somewhere.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Yep. He's got like a horde shoulder tattoo.
Yeah.
You should have like hid mom in there somewhere.
Should have.
Oh, he's got a doom hammer.
Should have, could have, would have.
It's a fucking doom
hammer. It is a doom hammer. I was very careful at rendering out my doom hammer in that drawing.
That's where doom hammer went. Your orc took it.
A random cartoon orc has it. Anyway, that's all there at theinstance.net, and you can find everything else there as well. Let's quickly see what else people might be able to catch this week. Garrett, anything happening at amove.tv this week?
Oh, there's always things happening. You should definitely go listen to The Angry Chicken, because a lot of Hearthstone going on, and we're going to have a lot to talk about on Tuesday. Into the Nexus is still going strong for you Heroes players out there. Mm. And Let's Talk About Star Wars is back and weekly.
Ooh.
Does it concern you
that Star Wars is the next movie won't even happen until, what is it, 2022 or something? Or something like that?
You know, we're getting Disney Plus. There's going to be other Star Wars to tide me over until then.
That's true. Like three series plus a couple cartoons or something. It's crazy.
Yeah, and if that conversation is interesting to you, you can hear a lot more about it, plus Jenny Justison, plus Tom Merritt talking about it on Let's Talk About Star Wars. So go subscribe.
Nice. Patrick, anything from you?
I guess I would recommend people subscribe to Pixels, which is a show about games. And we cover the news from the video games industry, and it's pretty fun. And also the Phileas Club, where last episode we talked about the Indian election. It's a serious show. We try to be serious, at least. And both of those are available at frenchspin.com. We talked about the Indian election, by the way, with two Indian nationals who live, I think one of them lives in Utah.
Oh, so, yeah, that's right. I knew that.
Utah connection there. And so they know, you know, what is interesting to us, Westerners, because they have both perspectives. Mm-hmm. And again, frenchspin.com for both of those.
Yeah, and that show is legit if you're looking for reasonable voices in a somewhat loud time we live in, where everybody likes to get real extreme about such issues. They cover a lot of worldwide stuff in a way that is not only palatable and fun and entertaining, but reasonable and well thought out. So check that out. What else is happening? There's always something happening. So I guess check out theinstance.net. That's our website. You can go to frogpants.com for more shows like this. There is surely going to be something in there that you could enjoy. And what else? That's it. I swear there was something else I was going to mention. Can't think of it. So I won't worry about it. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back next time with even more in the world of Warcraft and beyond. Until then, have a fantastic week, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.